Good evening. It has been a while since I have the privilege of opening God's Word on a Sunday evening. Don't feel bad if you don't remember the last time I was here, because I don't remember what I taught on last time. I'm just kidding. I remember what I taught on last time. We're actually going to be picking up where we left off. Last time I spoke on a Sunday evening, I began a series on our union with Christ. This was last year. I spoke two different times. And we were looking at John's Gospel, in particular, John's chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. We looked through at chapter 14 the first time I spoke on a Sunday evening. And then after that, I started John 15, looking at the analogy Jesus uses regarding him being the vine and our union to that vine. And so we're going to be picking up where we left off. The last time, like I said, we were talking about Jesus's union, our union to Jesus as the vine. And it's an interesting analogy that Jesus uses there, because it is such a powerful notion that he is a vine and that we are connected to him. However, tonight, we're going to be looking at the opposite side of that. So there are some who are connected to Jesus as the vine, who are in union with him. But tonight we are looking at those who are not connected to the vine. It's kind of a serious, sad subject, but it's nonetheless an important subject for us to look at. So if you'd please join with me in a word of prayer, we'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you for your grace in our lives, for graciously saving us, for graciously working in us, and for taking imperfect vessels as ourselves and using us for your purposes and for your glory. And we pray that you would use us this evening as we pray to you that we would be vessels used by you to accomplish your will here on earth, as we bring up petitions to you, to our Father, that you would be speaking through us and in us, and that you'd bless our time looking at your word right now, that you'd give me your words, Lord, that they wouldn't be mine, and that you'd help us all to be attentive to what your word has to say to us. Please be glorified in this time, in Jesus' name, amen. So if you haven't turned there already, please turn to John chapter 15. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 11, where Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So we have two main ideas running through this passage here. And this passage, I've broken it up this way. You have two groups of people being spoken of in John 15, 1 through 11. You have those who abide in Christ and those who don't. Now, those who abide in Christ bear fruit. Those who do not abide in Christ do not bear fruit. Those who abide in Christ bear fruit and are pruned by the vine dresser. Those who do not abide in Christ do not bear fruit, are gathered and thrown away by the vine dresser. Those who abide in Christ bear fruit, are pruned by the vine dresser, and they have a dynamic relationship with the Trinity. Those who do not abide in Christ do not bear fruit, are gathered and thrown away by the vine dresser, and they can do nothing. Those who abide in Christ bear fruit, are pruned by the vine dresser. They have a dynamic relationship with the Trinity and prove to be disciples. On the other hand, those who do not abide in Christ, do not bear fruit, are gathered and thrown away by the vine dresser. They can do nothing and they wither. And then finally, those who abide in Christ bear fruit, are pruned by the vine dresser. They have a dynamic relationship with the Trinity, prove to be disciples, and have fullness of joy. On the contrary, those who do not abide in Christ, do not bear fruit, are gathered and thrown away by the vine dresser. They can do nothing, they wither, and eventually are burned. So those are the two main tracks or ideas that run through this passage. Those who abide in Christ and those who don't. And those who abide in Christ have all of these things that come along with that. And those who do not abide in Christ likewise have a list of things, if you will. Pardon my simple language there. But there is a list of things that come along with not abiding in Christ. And so, again, the last time I was here, we looked at what it meant to abide in Christ. We saw that it entails this vital connection with the vine. That I kind of gave us a brief introduction to Plant Biology 101, where I talked about what it means to be a vascular plant, you might recall. And what it meant is that a vascular plant is a plant that has tissues in it that conduct liquids and nutrients throughout the plant. That's what a vascular plant is. And how the whole idea of Jesus being the vine and us being branches in him, we are connected to that flow of nutrients that flow spiritually from Jesus to us. As we are in him and he is in us, there is this spiritual flow of life that happens when you are abiding and attached to the vine. And as a result of that vital attachment, we grow and we bear fruit. And so Jesus says in John 6:56 that those who abide in him are those that feed on his flesh and drink his blood. He says, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And I like how William Hendrickson interprets that passage for us. It's a hard verse to take, the idea of feeding on Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood. But William Hendrickson puts it this way. It is clear, therefore, that when Jesus speaks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, he cannot have reference to any physical eating or drinking. He must mean this. He who accepts, appropriates, and assimilates my vicarious sacrifice as the only ground of his salvation remains in me and I in him. That's what it means to abide in Christ. To, as Hendrickson says here, accepts, appropriates, assimilates. If you've done that, if you've accepted and appropriated and assimilated Jesus' sacrifice for you as the only ground of your salvation, you are in him, he is in you. You are in union with Christ. You are in this intimate union with him where his life and spirit and the rivers of living water are flowing from him into you and back and forth. And it's just this vital, powerful picture of a growing, thriving plant, a vine in our situation here. So that's one group of people, those who abide in Christ, those who have this union with Christ. Those are the branches that are in the vine. Now we come tonight, sadly, to another group of people. Those who do not abide in Christ. Or in other words, branches that are not abiding in the vine. And our passage here in John 15, verse 2, gives us our first mention of this group. In verse 2, Jesus says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, the vine dresser, the Father, takes away." Now, in verse 8, Jesus says that those who bear fruit prove to be his disciples. So we could look at verse 2 as basically also saying this then. Every branch in me every branch in me that is not a disciple, he takes away. Because again, to bear fruit is to be a disciple. They're one with each other. So we can read this verse as saying, every branch in me that is not a disciple does not bear fruit. Now, this brings up a very interesting question. How is it possible for a branch to be in the vine and not be a disciple? How is it possible for a person to be, as Jesus says here, in him and not bear fruit? How is that possible? As Reformed Baptists, you know, we believe that once a person has true saving faith in Jesus Christ, once they are in Christ, they are in Christ. They are held by the Father. They are not their salvation is secure. It is firm. But this verse here almost makes it sound like you can be in him. He says here, every branch in me that does not bear fruit or is not a disciple, he takes away. How is that possible? Well, it's helpful for us to look at the context of this passage. And the event that just happened just before Jesus started his discourse here, he starts his discourse in chapter 14, and it goes on through 15 and 16. The context is that they just had their Passover meal, right? And during that Passover meal, what happens? Satan enters into Judas. And Judas will eventually betray Jesus. And Jesus tells Judas, what you're going to do, do quickly, knowing what Judas was about to do. So here's Judas now. Let's take a look at Judas. This is the guy that Jesus just spoke to prior to starting this discourse here. Judas was very close to Jesus, right? One of the 12 disciples. He was one of the 12 close disciples to Jesus. He heard Jesus teach. He heard him preach. He saw Jesus' miracles. He even, and this kind of struck me as pretty powerful, he watched Jesus live a sinless life. Think about that. All of the disciples that walked with Jesus, they watched a man live a sinless life. They watched him live a perfect life. Day in, day out for 3 years, as Judas was involved in ministry with Jesus, he saw Jesus never sin once. All of the disciples did that. That's just amazing, you know, to think about walking with someone, you know, a coworker or a family member, someone you spend a lot of time with, if you saw that person never sin ever. I mean, that's just crazy. But they did that with Jesus. Jesus lived a sinless life before Judas. Judas also had his feet washed by Jesus. At that Passover meal, the Savior that he was about to betray washed his feet. So Judas was very close to Jesus. He was in that inner circle of the 12. And despite all of that, Judas isn't a disciple, right? He wasn't saved. He was the son of perdition. It's an amazing thing to think about, that someone could be so close to Jesus, hearing him preach, tasting the food that he miraculously made, you know, the loaves and the fish and so forth, watching him live, having his feet washed by Jesus, and yet he could still remain unconverted. He was not a disciple. He had the outward appearance of being a disciple. He had the outward appearance of abiding in the vine, just like the other disciples. But the reality is that he was not a disciple. He was not in the vine. And so when Jesus says here in verse 2 of chapter 15, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the Father takes away, I believe he has Judas in mind here. He has in mind somebody who can be in him in a sense. In him, in the sense that he was, again, so close to Jesus, involved with Jesus on a daily basis, in fellowship with the other disciples who were believers. And yet, he does not bear fruit, and he gets taken away by the Father. And I think throughout history, there have probably been many people, right, who fall into this category of Judas. Many of us have probably witnessed this firsthand. A similar situation where there is someone who can be close to Jesus in the sense that, you know, obviously we can't walk with Jesus these days personally on the earth with him. But nonetheless, it is possible for someone to be close to Jesus. Some people can make professions of faith. They can stand up here on this very platform and make a profession of faith and be baptized and partake of the sacraments and regularly attend church, and yet can end up rejecting Jesus and leaving the church, just like we saw this morning where Judah walks away from his brothers in the book of Genesis. People today can walk away, as Pastor John told us this morning, can walk away from the fellowship of the believers, even after making professions of faith, attending church regularly. Maybe it's children of believers. Children who are raised up in the church, who have sat under the teaching and the preaching of the church for years and years. They get to a point in their early adulthood, and what do? They walk away. These are all examples, I believe, of people who could be in the category of a Judas. Someone who, again, is so close to the things of God, in fellowship, hearing the word preached every week, could be taking the sacraments, could be making professions of faith, in fellowship with brothers and sisters, and then never really be truly converted and one day rejecting Jesus Christ. That is how I believe someone could live out verse 2 here. A branch in him that does not bear fruit and is eventually taken away. And I'm not alone in this. Most Reformed commentators pretty much take the similar, you know, stance to this one, that this verse is referring to people who are very close to the church, to the things of God, and then eventually prove not to be disciples in the first place. And as our pastor quoted for us this morning, I'm going to quote again, 1 John 2:19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us." There are people who can be here with us every week, sitting in these chairs with us, and who can appear to be a vine. They can appear to be in the vine. They can appear to be a branch in the vine. But then they will show at some point in the future that they really aren't in the vine, sadly. And so this idea is also supported from a strictly horticultural standpoint as well. Jesus is using a horticultural analogy, so I will look at this horticulturally briefly here. He's talking about a grapevine. And if any of you are familiar with grapevines, they go dormant in the wintertime. When they're dormant, it can be difficult to tell which branches are alive and which branches are dead. I experienced this firsthand as a tree worker. We have trees here in the valley that will go dormant in the wintertime. Mesquites in particular come to my mind, where it'll be in the wintertime, they have no leaves on them, and I'm told, cut the dead wood out of this tree. Well, it's a little difficult to cut dead wood out of a tree when the whole tree looks like it's dead. So, similarly, that's the way it is here too. It's not always easy to tell in the visible church who's a believer and who's not. Again, you have Judas, who for years looked like a disciple. He looked like he was converted. He looked like the other disciples as well. However, it turns out he wasn't. Same thing with grapevines going dormant. You can't always tell which branches are alive or dead when they're dormant in the wintertime. Even when they're alive, it's hard to tell, because I don't know if you've noticed, but grapevines, they're kind of gnarly vines, okay? They can be really messy looking. When they start growing, they can have lots of branches twisting all around each other. And even the live branches can look like they're dead, because they get kind of woody looking, and the bark can look real flaky, and they can just look kind of dirty. And so the live branches can oftentimes look like dead branches, and vice versa. It's not until you see which branches are leafing out and producing fruit, then you can tell. And see, that's what Jesus is telling us here. You can't tell which branches are truly abiding in the vine until what? Until you see the fruit. And Judas showed us that he didn't have the fruit. And unfortunately, what happens in everyday life, in the everyday life of the church, we can't always tell who is truly abiding in the vine until we see fruit or lack of fruit. And so I think there are two main objectives here to this verse, two main takeaways that we can take away from this whole idea of branches that are not abiding in the vine. The first one is a warning to unbelievers in the church. Maybe you've attended church for a long period of time, maybe a short period of time. Either way, you've sat under the preaching of the gospel. If you're sitting here right now in this church and you've attended this church for any period of time, you've sat under solid Bible teaching. You've sat under solid Bible preaching. Perhaps you've even partaken of the sacraments. Maybe you've partaken of the Lord's Supper or been baptized. You've been enjoying the fellowship of the saints. But if you remain unregenerate in your heart, this passage here is a stern warning of the danger of the state that you're in right now. If you're sitting here right now and you've been hearing the word preached, you've been fellowshipping with the saints, and yet your heart is not changed, you have not been regenerated, you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are in a very dangerous place. However, if you flee to Christ, He will not reject you. You flee to Christ before it's too late. You need to flee to Christ before you are gathered like a branch and thrown away. You don't want to be thrown away. You want to flee to Jesus Christ. He will not reject you. And keep this in mind. The more you've heard, the more teaching you've heard, the more preaching you've heard, the more you've been in fellowship, the more you know about the gospel, the more you know about God, and yet the more you reject that in your heart, you will receive a stricter punishment. In Luke's gospel, we're told, "And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." The more you know, the more will be required of you on the day of judgment. You don't want to go into judgment having known so much, sat under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, and yet rejected that very teaching and preaching. You don't want to go there. So that's the stern warning to the unbeliever. On the other hand, this is also an alert to the believer as well. This is also an alert to the believer of, one, the need to evangelize our children who we are raising in the church, our children who we are proclaiming God's Word to, and proclaiming the gospel to, as they are in Sunday school classes, and as you raise them up in your home, preaching the word to them. You don't want them to be a branch either. You don't want them to be a branch in Jesus that ends up not bearing fruit. I know you don't, as parents. And so this passage here is an alert to us to evangelize, to pray for the children among us in our church here. Also, not to take our own salvation lightly. Not to take our own salvation lightly. And I'm not saying to doubt our salvation. Not far be it from that. I don't want us to be doubting our salvation. But I do think that sometimes Christians do need a passage like this just to jolt them a little bit. Just to make them think. You know, we read a passage like this and, gosh, I mean, it kind of freaks me out a little bit. You know, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. What if that's me? What if I'm a branch that's in him? It's a scary thought. As I was preparing this, there are definitely several times where I sat there and I'm thinking, I don't want this to be me. And I think that's one of the objectives to a passage like this for us as regenerate Christians, is to make us think those thoughts, to be thinking, I don't want to be a branch in him that's not bearing fruit. And then what that makes us do is, well, I know I'm bearing fruit. I know I'm a branch in the vine, because you know what? Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I know that with all my heart, and I love him with my whole being. You know, a passage like this should make us as Christians stop, not take our salvation lightly, and to be thinking thoughts like that, reminding ourselves, I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I want to serve him, and I love him. You know, a passage like this can help reground us in our salvation. And it can also make us realize, too, that I know I'm not perfect, but I do know that there's fruit in my life. I know that there is fruit. It's not perfect fruit. It's not as much fruit as I'd like there to be, but it's there. And we don't have time to go into it, but if you're curious what fruit might look like, Galatians chapter 5, just go there. But I'd like to close with a quote from our confession. Oops. In the 1689, chapter 18 of the Assurance of Grace and Salvation, in paragraph 1, I think it really sums up what we've talked about here this evening. Paragraph 1 of chapter 18 of our confession says, "Although temporary believers and other unregenerate men may vainly deceive themselves with false hopes and carnal presumptions of being in the favor of God and taste of salvation, which hope of theirs shall perish, yet such as truly believe in the Lord Jesus and love him in sincerity, endeavoring to walk in all good conscience before him, may in this life be certainly assured that they are in the state of grace and may rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, which hope shall never make them ashamed." Those are assuring words for us there. Those who truly believe in the Lord Jesus and love him in sincerity, endeavoring to walk in all good conscience before him, may in this life be certainly assured that they are in that state of grace. So again, we're not to walk away from this passage as Christians doubting our salvation and having a lack of assurance. This passage, if you are regenerate, this should help, again, re-ground you, make you remind yourself, yeah, I'm in the vine. The vine is my Savior. However, for the unbeliever here, you want to make sure you are in the vine. You want to put your faith in Jesus Christ. He will not turn away anyone who comes to him. If you do not have a saving faith in Jesus Christ, you need to have that there. Otherwise, you will be gathered, as he says here. You will be gathered and thrown away, and eventually those branches that are thrown away are gathered together and thrown into the fire and burned. So, that's the whole idea of not being in the vine. We have those who are in the vine and those who are not. Now, the next time I'm here, Lord willing, whenever that might be on a Sunday evening, we will pick up what it is that those who are in the vine produce, which is fruit. We'll look at fruit next time. We will look at not having fruit, and we'll continue on through that list I already read to you. That's going to be my outline for this passage of Scripture. We'll just kind of continue on looking at these quote-unquote things that come along with abiding in the vine and not abiding in the vine. So please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, so grateful for those of us that do have our faith in you, that you have given us Jesus Christ and made him our sacrifice, that you have imputed our unrighteousness to him and imputed his righteousness to our account. Without that, we could do nothing, Lord, and we thank you that you have done that for us, that you've made us branches in the vine and that we bear fruit. And we do pray for those among us who don't know you, that are not in the vine yet. We pray that you would put them in the vine, Lord. We pray that you would change their hearts. Make them want to believe in you. Make them want to love you, Lord, that they may bear fruit and prove to be your disciples. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.